Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Jacob's here. Aki's here. Bree's here. How is everybody doing? Let's start with Jacob.
I'm awful.
What's up, bud?
So, I'm sick with COVID.
Ouch.
Yay. Possibly from the trip to the aquarium last week.
Probably.
That's
why you don't lick the glass. That's... fair. I'll take note of that for next time. But the big thing for me is that I actually got put in Facebook jail on Friday. Or was it Thursday? I don't remember. I don't know. I was in Facebook jail for 3 days because of a news post that I made for the SML Podcast, where I showed it was not verified. Let's make that note. It was a potentially leaked style guide for the upcoming Minecraft movie. Nowhere in the image did it say that it was official Warner Brothers property. Nowhere in the picture did it say confidential, like anything like that. And it had enough pixels. It could have been from 2008. And I got put in
Warner Brothers then.
Oh, well, that's the thing. I got a copyright strike on my Facebook account from Warner Brothers. Hold on, it gets better. So Facebook's like, if you believe that this was an error, you can fill out this form. So I ended up having to fill out the form 3 times. They send it to me and they're like, all right, well, please email us with like what you believe to be the issue and like what was the post and where was this at, blah, like all this other kind of information. So I email that like immediately. 3 days later, after my Facebook, like my time in Facebook jail has ended, I get a response from Facebook. Oh, well, you haven't replied to any of our reports, so we're just going to close this, and, you know, it's all good. If you have any problems, you can reach out to, like, you know, the copyright holder. And I'm like, so I had to email him back again, and I'm like, I emailed you on all of these. I provided everything you asked. Like, none of this got solved, and how am I supposed to, like, who am I supposed to get in touch with from Warner Brothers about this? Like, when not only... is it a huge conglomerate, but they're laying off like thousands of people like every month? Like,
yeah. Jacob's so, all like,
aside from my own actions, what did I do to deserve this?
No, that is crap. I was reporting the news, okay? I was reporting the news, and this is silencing the press. Like, yes, our Facebook page. No.
We legitimately
report the news once a week on the podcast and throughout the week on the Facebook page. Yes, there is a ton of shit posts on the Facebook page, but it is also a source of news. We were reporting the news. We should not have been held accountable. We should not have I should not have a copyright strike against me on this. It's complete crap. And I really hate that there's no way to fight this.
Yeah, so, don't you just love shitty. It?
Yeah.
So then on Monday, I started my new job. And
Yay!
It's back at my old IT job.
Oh, wait, we have a button for this.
Yay!
Oh, I kind of assumed that you were like flipping burgers or something.
No, it's back at my old IT job at my old rate.
The one that fired you?
No, that was my banking job.
Oh,
So anyways, it's at my old rate, which thanks to inflation has $1.50 less spending power than it did when I left the company. Mm. If you want to insert the yay noise, that'd be a good time.
Okay. Yeah. Let me right here.
Yay! Yeah. Thank you. So
if you want, we could also go with
woo. That might be good. So yeah. So Monday, you know, I started up my new job. And then Tuesday, I tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
So by the time you can go back to work, you may not have a job, is what you're saying.
Nah, I'll be okay. Well, thankfully, yesterday was one of my days off, and I had just had to use a sick day already. And I've still got people who know me there, and so they all think it's hilarious as hell because I was notorious for burning through my sick days as soon as I got them because my kids were way younger back then. And so I'd have mm-hmm. to watch them and take care of them and stuff like that. And so, you know, this was like the final cusp of me returning to IT, immediately burn a sick day on my first week back. So
yeah.
Yay, COVID. And yeah, and I'm not going to lie, aside from my head pounding and not being able to sleep, besides being fatigued as hell, I've been entertaining myself because I can't taste things anymore, obviously. Hold on. I've been entertaining myself.
Neither can Brie after her birthday.
I mean. Or me since birth, so, you know.
Wait, what happened to you, Brie?
Oh, I drank a bunch of gross flavored soda.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So I've been entertaining myself with a bag of Jolly Ranchers, and I've been trying to guess which Jolly Rancher flavor it is without looking at the wrapper or the candy itself. I've
diabetes.
I'm not going to. Well, yeah.
Sugar.
There's that. So I'm honestly at almost 100% accuracy for watermelon. And grape has a distinct, heavy flavor to it. So,
that doesn't
you know, if you're looking for things to do when you got COVID, I just gave you a new activity.
Yeah, you can give yourself diabetes.
You know what, Aki? Just go to hell.
What you should be doing is, since you can't taste anything, you should be eating really healthy instead.
I actually have been. I've actually been eating a bunch of hummus and guac.
Oh, Jacob, those are hummers.
No, hummus. No, the stuff made out of chickpeas. Because I can't taste it, and so all that's left is really a texture issue, and I'm just like, whatever. Who cares about life at this point anyway? Taste. Yeah, honestly, it's not that bad. But, you know, guac has a nice consistency I can appreciate.
Yeah, guac's fantastic.
You talking about watermelon Jolly Ranchers, I got a watermelon flavored vape, and oh my God, it tastes so much like watermelon. It is amazing.
Wow. Like the fruit or the candy flavor?
Do they not taste the same?
They're watermelon.
No, watermelon... I don't think watermelon candy tastes like watermelon.
Oh.
Well, it's more of a fruity watermelon taste.
Doesn't tastes like water?
No. If you get a good dark red watermelon, that's got a different, I don't know how to describe it.
I agree with you though.
It wouldn't help me.
the candy and the actual melon don't necessarily taste the same to me, so
Yeah, thank you, Brie. See, she's the one who
agreed.
Brie agrees with me, therefore my opinion is correct. So,
dude, my thoughts on watermelon have been thrown off by three straight years of drinking Mountain Dew Major Melon.
Yeah.
I don't know what real watermelon is anymore.
Yeah. Real watermelon is 98%
water. This stuff reminds me of watermelon. So,
yeah.
Are you drinking LaCroix?
Christ.
No, is that how I'm far soda talk is
Major
fallen?
Melon.
Oh, I think Sam tried that one.
Talking
I don't remember.
About melons.
Ha.
Ha. What are we talking about, melon?
I don't know. I was just going
to
ask.
I have something to talk about melons.
Oh, gee.
I did some medieval cooking test cooks this weekend with my friend for a big feast we're doing. And one of the things that we tried for the feast is pickled honeydew. So it's pickled with vinegar and water. It's not like a pickle. It's just a light pickling, like a, you know, you sit it in there for like 2 hours and then you serve. And it had salt and pepper and mint on it. It's really, really good.
You know, Bri, I'd just like to say this. Your sentences never cease to amaze me on some stuff, because we were just talking about melons and you're like, oh, that reminds me of like, and like everything that you said in that sentence up till the end led to the possibility of discussion of breasts. And then you're like, oh, and it was honeydew. And I'm like, oh, wow. It really was about melons. Okay.
It really was about melons. Yeah.
Okay.
I missed a comment in chat. Chief Injustice said guac is great, but it looks like baby shit.
Yeah.
It does. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, I mean, so does hummus. Shit. Well, yeah, I would think baby shit would look like baby shit.
You'd be surprised sometimes, man.
I'm so glad I don't know what that looks like.
All right, so...
And you've still been surprised how many times? How many times would you check a diaper and be like, fuck, what is this?
So, Aki, when a baby first has its first poop...
Oh, tar.
It is going to remind you, yeah, it looks like tar. It looks like somebody had the Exxon Valdez spill in a diaper.
Oh, and Jesus. It almost 100% will, like... explode beyond the parameters of its containment. It is not pleasant.
Well, yeah, because it's the seal that, you know, keeps your bum, you know, liquid free up until birth. So
yeah,
you know, and then it starts getting into these like little seed objects, which is kind of weird. It looks like actual seeds, and then yeah, you get the stuff that's like the consistency of guac. So I hope every time that you look at guac, you now think of like some kid's filled diaper.
I've that still stuck curse. On the it looks that like is my seeds cur- part.
That is that my is- curse upon you.
Yeah, see, your curse upon me fails for one very simple reason. Give me 3 hours and I won't remember any of this.
Damn it.
Jacob, give me 20 minutes and we won't remember any of this, right? Am I right, buddy?
Oh, God. Wait, are we talking about brain fog?
Sure.
So the episode title is going to be Guac Talk.
Oh, that's fair. But I feel like that should be saved for like a guacamelee episode.
That's a very specific weight.
Well, I mean, you could ask the devs. I mean, you should maybe email the devs and see if they're working on a guacamelee 3. And then...
That'd be cool.
There you go.
I love the guacamole games.
What if this is how they break the news? Boom. You're welcome.
It won't be.
Shut up.
Not with that attitude, it won't.
We actually did break news the one time. We had a worldwide scoop. We got to reveal the release date of Hyper Void on the Xbox.
That's cool.
Yeah. Years ago. That was fun. Nifty. The devs were like, hey, here's the review key. It comes out this date. And I'm like, any embargo or anything? They're like, nope. And we haven't announced anything, so feel free to. I'm like, what?
That's like, awesome. Yeah,
make the announcement. Like, okay, cool. Did. Like, 4 people saw it. Just like this episode.
Hey, we might reach 10 this time.
Oh, man. Maybe. Should we get to news, or is there anything else anyone wanted to talk about before we dive into that?
I mean, we haven't talked... Wait, have we talked about Aki and Bree's weeks? I don't think we did. Well, I mean, we kind of talked about Bree's. Yeah, the melons.
Do we want to talk about Aki's?
Did you play with Gunpla?
No, I haven't had time. I've been working on review games.
I did want to add one thing.
Did you order Gunpla?
I have not ordered Gunpla this week.
Did you receive Gunpla?
I did that packet. I may have.
You may have?
Give me a second. I have to look and see when. 22nd. That was. Okay, yes, I have then. I had the check because I knew I had received some. I just wasn't sure if it was between this episode and last or if it was just before last.
Well,
yes,
you know, we received a sub from Cheap Injustice. Thank you so much for dropping by and dropping a sub to us, saying for Piddles, thank you, Piddles, thanks you as well. She's doing good. She's out of her onesie. She's like back up to speed. She's doing good.
Good.
Very nice. She actually seems more youthful than before the surgery. Like she seems a lot more active now. It's really happy. It's cool. Seems good. Yeah. Guac talk.
Yeah. So yeah, I got 7 new gunpla.
7, Jesus.
Yeah, I think these I ordered in like January or February.
Oh my lord.
Yeah. There's pictures of them in the Discord, so fuckers, get in the Discord.
That is a lot.
Not really.
Join our Discord. If you're not in our Discord, join our Discord. There's a lot of dumb stuff in there that is not worth your time at all, but we like to chat in there. We post the episodes. Sometimes I've been lax on posting the episodes in there lately, and I don't know why. I'm just so overwhelmed with posting it everywhere else that I forget to do it in the Discord.
Yeah, that 7 isn't a lot. I think in March I got like 25.
Jesus.
I've built almost all of those, though. Just so people aren't like freaking out, like, oh my god, how big is your backlog? It's shrunk considerably. I had a...
Your gunpla backlog is like my Xbox backlog.
No, it's not.
It's worse.
No, it's pretty good right now, actually. I had a queen-size bed that it was completely covered, and then had a big one sticking off to the side and 3 stacked on top of it. And that bed was completely covered from edge to edge back in March. And wow. Now you can see about a quarter of the bed.
All right.
So, and I've gotten like another 20 or 30 gunpla since then. So I'm doing pretty good, actually. I am cutting right through these motherfuckers. It's just that this month I've made like most of one. Whereas like last month, I think I built like 20 of them in like 3 weeks. So... Yeah.
That's how news?
My week, Spencer. Yeah, let's do news.
Oh, Bree, what'd you have?
I had one more thing. I was just going to say, I didn't want to interrupt Jacob earlier, but the reason I said high five about your copyright strike is because I've also gotten a cease and desist from Warner Brothers before for Harry Potter stuff.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, I was given a cease and desist because I was making and selling costumes to cosplayers back before cosplay is what it is now. And I got in trouble. They were like, your stuff is like totally infringing on the stuff. And I had
please
to
stop.
Shut down my business. Yeah, I had to shut down my business. I did like 2 years of it.
And, that sucks.
You should have just flipped over to anime instead.
Yeah. I just worked in
Japan
costumes in
don't
general,
give a
but
shit.
Yeah, no, Warner Brothers is like really locked down about that stuff. So is Fox for certain things. So,
well,
yeah.
The thing is, though, is that also with the Warner Brothers thing, like this is like I got a strike and there were actual like memes with that image in it still up. There were like news articles that like showed like, you know, like part of the image. They were still up. And I'm just like, you guys gotta be kidding me. This is crap. Like,
yeah, I wasn't even selling things in a way that like would have gotten me in trouble, but other people were, and I got bit in like a whole big like group of people. So,
Chicken Justice says it's only because your Potter outfits were better than anything they could make.
It is actually. They were featured on Today's Show and other. They were some really good stuff. I was a professional costumer for a lot of years. I actually ended up getting. I have the distinction of also saying that I got a job offer working at Wizarding World as a costume consultant after the cease and desist. I ended up turning that job down for a different job. But yeah, because it was a contract only. But yeah.
Damn.
That's fucking awesome, actually. It's a shame you didn't just switch over to making like anime costumes instead, because Japan doesn't really care about stuff like that even remotely.
Yeah, cosplay is a different scene now, and it's a lot easier. There's more stuff. It's just about how you sell it. You just still got to be careful what you do.
That's well, and also, I mean, Warner Brothers saw it as like, this is something we could be selling. So yeah. It's like, yeah, of course they're going to be dicks.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I mean, they could say this is something we could be selling, make it, and then decide not to put it out, as yeah. We've already seen them do recently, twice.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, that could, news.
That could be news, a good segue yeah. into the news. Warner yes. Brothers acquired Player First Games, the developers of the Multiverses.
Yeah.
So there's some Warner and, Brothers news. Oh, shit, we just got a cease and desist.
Well, data miners have found a Barbie and Harry Potter levels now.
Oh, that's interesting. I know they who'd they announce? Samurai Jack and Beetlejuice?
Yes.
Yes.
Did they get Michael Keaton for Beetlejuice or no?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Well, you never know because there's the new Beetlejuice movie. They got a lot of big
names for people in that game. So I wouldn't. I honestly
I feel like shocked. They announced. I'm pretty sure that they actually say on their Facebook page who does what. Because they make announcements about that. So I'm going to go look that up. You go do your thing.
Phil Lamar is who's voicing Beetlejuice.
All right.
He and Samurai Jack.
I don't know who's doing Samurai Jack.
No,
like Phil Lamar originally Samurai Jack.
Yeah, oh. Phil Lamar is who's doing Samurai Jack in Multiverses.
Oh, interesting.
And he's a prolific voice actor, so he could be doing multiple people. I wouldn't be shocked.
Looking. All right, go talk about other news while I look.
No.
Because I'm looking.
Sad news. Stalker 2 has been delayed from September 5th to November 20th.
I absolutely love how they announced it. It is fantastic.
Why would
for anyone, they created a brand new game trailer to basically announce this. And what you see is a stalker going through some of the exclusion zone, approaching it near this big, gigantic mining machine, basically, that digs into the ground like a soul does. And then you hear over his intercom thing that stalkers can't enter the area because they're still busy doing something. And the person and the stalker's just like, oh, come on. Are you kidding me? And it's so good. I loved that. That is the single best way to announce that a game is being delayed. Hands down. That was great.
I really worry about its placement. There's a lot of big games releasing around that time with like Assassin's Creed, Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I think it's going to get completely butt fucked.
I think Avowed is right around there too. So hopefully Stalker remember. Still does well. It's a supposed to be a big title for Xbox, though. Fingers crossed. Does well.
I would like it to do well, but I think just the amount of stuff it's going to be going up against, I think they've kind of shot themselves in the foot. Which sucks.
I don't know. Speaking of Xbox, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 joined Game Pass this week on the 24th.
Yippee.
Yay.
Good for those people who enjoy it.
Yep. It's a big get. So yep. I guess this was the other game that was teased in the last batch of games. I was still hoping for like one or two more indies or something to pop up next week or something, but who knows?
Yeah.
Even still, we had a huge month. Last week alone was 5 day one games. So it's hard to complain when ones. You get stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. Flintlock, Hinterberg, Kanitsugami, Flock. Good week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad week for Humble Games. They are, quote, restructuring. And in doing so, they have laid off basically everybody with the company. All employees were laid off and the company will carry on in name only. Ziff Davis confirmed they will use a third party to, quote, manage the slate of titles past and future. This has no effect on Humble Bundles, just Humble Games and all the awesome shit that they've been publishing. Like this one hurts so much because yeah. Humble Games have been so fucking good.
They've been knocking it out of the park with some of the stuff, and a lot of it's been coming to Game Pass too, which, yeah, you know, yeah.
I didn't know they were firing just everybody. I thought it was just the QA team. Because when I first heard about it, that's all that it was announced. Oh, that sucks. I like so many other games. No.
Well, again, they're just restructuring. They're not shutting down. And they promise that things will not be delayed and that things that were in production are still in production. Like, I would assume, I don't know, Never Alone 2 was one of those. So
Wizard of Legend 2 was one of those.
Yeah, it was. Yep. Yeah.
Him. With our friend Dale North doing the music on that one again. Yeah, nice. bad week for Humble Games. That is heartbreaking news. Hopefully everyone from Humble lands on their feet well. Yeah,
damn, they make news. More games than I thought. Holy shit. Yeah. I just went to look at it just to see what all games were coming out, and holy crap, I didn't know that they had their hand in quite all of them that they do.
Yeah, they published a lot of cool stuff.
That's a fucking shame.
Yeah.
There's even more games on here that I'm like, I love these. I want these. I want these ones. Oh, and this one too. Damn. Mm-hmm. That sucks. Yeah.
More sucky news. Epic is partnering with fucking Tesla to bring the Cybertruck to Fortnite and Rocket League. I'm glad I stopped playing Rocket League and that I don't play Fortnite. I try not to get political on the show, but, like, don't support this at all. I am super disappointed in Epic, and I didn't like it much to begin with. All the Harmonix stuff that happened, Fortnite Festival, has driven me away from Epic to begin with, and this is just, like, a nail in the coffin as far as I'm concerned.
You know, for Fortnite, that shitty little truck actually kind of makes sense because it looks like it's a fucking cartoon and Elon Musk is a joke. So, you know, it works in Fortnite. But in Rocket League, it really doesn't, because that is one of the most piece of shit vehicles that there is. Raccoons have destroyed the trunks of these fucking things, trying to get into them, thinking that they're trash cans, and their little hands are strong enough to destroy them. That right there should tell you all you need to know about the Cybertruck. It is fucking trash. It can't.
And so truck. Is Elon Musk.
I agree.
All right, but I like, you are missing some of the fun in all of this, though. All right,
what's the fun?
So first off, the part cost? Of the fun, the cost is free.
Is it?
All right. It is.
They're not paying me, so that's not good enough.
Which means that Elon Musk is having to pay for all this to shove it down everyone's throats, which means that, like, they're wasting their own damn money. And on top of it, people are already organizing raids in Fortnite to gang up on anyone seen driving one of those damn things in the game.
No, you have to do quests to earn it in Fortnite.
So people are going to do quests and then get ganged up on. Very good for them.
Sometimes gamers, TM, are just fantastic. Sometimes they do the right thing. Usually not, but, you know, sometimes. This is one of those times. I'm happy.
Anyway. Shadows of the Damned Hell Remastered got an October 31st release date.
I don't know anything about that game.
You should play it.
Oh?
I think you would. You like Resident Evil games, right?
Oh, yes. I fucking absolutely love those games.
Think of it like play halfway,
Shadows of the Damned.
It's like halfway between Devil May Cry and Resident Evil.
Oh. Wait, is this the dude that has the skull gun thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
It talks to him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I remember seeing trailers of this forever ago.
I've got it on disc somewhere around here.
Yeah, it is delisted digital, so the only way to play it on your Series X or Xbox One is with a disc. It is backward compatible, which is cool. And I believe it's the only Xbox 360 game to have the word fuck in the achievement list uncensored.
These people are already my hero. I love that.
The one achievement is called Big Fucking Gun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm excited for that one. Halloween is going to be fun this year. So bring on Shadows of the Damned. Last bit of news I have is hilarious news from the PlayStation world. Concord had an open beta on Steam that nobody cared about. What the hell is that noise?
Oh, sorry. I'm messing with screws over on my desk. I'm sorry.
Beaner.
Sorry.
Got real bored.
More people were playing Valve's unannounced closed beta for Deadlock, Project Deadlock, whatever it's called, that doesn't exist yet officially, than were playing a public open beta for a PlayStation game. Also, the second free weekend on PS5 had an 8% player drop from the first weekend.
Yikes.
Jesus.
I will say this, though. That controller for the PS5 controller
looks dope.
Oh, it's so dope. It's so sexy. I wish it was an Xbox game. So
it doesn't look $85 dope, but it looks dope.
Oh, it does. It does. If that was an actual Xbox controller, I would endure my wife's wrath for getting that controller.
I just realized what fucking Concord is because I had to go look it up because I was like, that name sounds familiar, but just barely.
It's the PlayStation hero shooter.
Yeah, it was the game that everyone probably would have loved if they didn't ruin it by telling us what type of game it was.
Yeah,
it was the one with the really dope trailer, and then they're like, it's a hero shooter, and everyone went, no.
Yeah, it was what, like 5v5 or something stupid like that?
Yeah, it's a 5v5 piece of shit.
The game is ranked below 500 in the wish list on Steam.
Yeesh. That doesn't shock me.
I mean, this is supposed to be a big PlayStation tentpole title. And it's not looking good for it. And the worst part is it's not going to be like a free-to-play game. It's a $40.
Yeah.
Ouch. I don't think it's going to do well for Sony.
No, it's fucked. It is dead on arrival already. They should have known not to eat, just to cancel it back when it was announced in the first place. And everyone's immediate reaction was, aww, to it. It's not like that was just an us thing. Collectively, from everyone I heard that talked about that, that was everyone's fucking opinion, was great trailer, and then it showed the gameplay. If they keep universe,
maybe it'll turn out good. Maybe it'll surprise us. Maybe Sony will do the smart thing and throw it on PlayStation Plus. That would be the very smart thing to do.
If they wanted to do the smart thing, they would have just said, oh, we're pushing the date back for like 5 years and then turn it into a single player experience instead of a 5v5 piece of shit.
Well, that's not happening.
I would like them to create an action game based on this that's a single-player game, because I think that would do really well. Because they do single-player games really well, and then it looks like a fucking awesome universe. No one wants this. There's already, like, 50,000 of these types of games. We don't need another one.
Fimber says the beta had a score of 2.1 out of 5 on PlayStation Store.
I'm shocked it was that high, honestly. That has to hurt. Oof.
Wow. Anyway, that's the news I have. Aki, anything on your end?
Yes. Something that also probably had more players than Concord. Last weekend, there was the Gundam Breaker 4 open network test. I.e. people got to play the game for a little bit so they could test their servers, and it didn't go amazingly, sadly. It took a long time for anyone to get into games, and I think on the very first day it crashed completely for like most of the day or something. But once people got in, the customization was really cool. You can get a whole bunch of different weapons and parts, so lots of people really liked the customization. Even the small amount that was in the game at that point. However, combat is pretty basic, which is that doesn't shock me personally. But I've only played like the absolute worst Gundam Breaker game that was ever made. So of course it doesn't shock me that it's simple. But you know, for everyone else who is hoping to a return to form, this may not be quite what they want, but it's at least heading in the right fucking direction. Mm. And the customization is amazing, apparently, because in this, you get parts from various sized suits. So you have your tiny little HG suits all the way up to your perfect grade suits. And you can mix and match the parts as you see fit. So you can give a gigantic head onto a tiny bodied Gundam, no problem. But they also allow you to change the size of these things to a degree, obviously.
Are you reviewing this right now?
No, sadly. I want to. It's just, this is just stuff I can tell.
You're in the middle of a review right now.
I can't help it. The watching people customize stuff was so fucking cool. This
so you game want can't the game.
Come out soon enough. Obviously. Who doesn't? It's awesome. It's a Gundam game, and you get to build your Gundams. Who doesn't want this? This is fucking amazing.
What I'm other news you got?
Excitable. That's it. That took up all my brain space. If I had anything else, I've forgotten.
I can tell. Bree, news, what you got?
Blizzard's World of Warcraft workers have unionized this week across multiple departments. It's over 500 people strong.
Ooh,
nice.
They weren't immediately fired?
No. That is super against the law.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't keep places from doing it anyways.
500 people? Ooh, I think they'd notice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other news, let's see. To celebrate the 2-year anniversary of Power Wash Simulator, they're giving away a free DLC pack, The Muckingham Files 3, on all platforms. But
free
wait,
DLC. That's awesome. Free DLC.
Wait, there's more. You can also now get the Midgard Special Pack and Tomb Raider expansion packs for free as well. I don't know if that's a limited time deal, but that so far appears to be on all platforms. I could not confirm on PlayStation because their store on the web is terrible.
What's Midgar from again?
Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy.
Okay. What
the fuck?
I remembered. I recognized the name, but I couldn't place it anywhere.
Jesus, I've never even played the game, and I still
know. You're like so furious that Remake's not on Xbox, and you can't remember the city of the main. Like, oh my god!
All I remember is pretty Shame. People swinging weapons. Okay,
Shame. You are the reason that the dinosaurs are dead.
Okay,
Timber saying it was always free.
I don't know that it was always free.
I thought it was free if you, I think it's free if you, have Game Pass.
Could be, but it's free.
Or wait, yeah, actually it may have always been free.
All right. Well,
free LC is free LC. So,
because, I'm up on the Microsoft, website right now and I can't actually purchase it.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Free LC. Free's good.
Today starts the 13th season of Sea of Thieves, where you can defeat and take over the main villain Flameheart's ship and the Burning Blade and terrorize the sea yourself, which is what I'll be trying to do later tonight.
This is the one you weren't excited for, right?
I'm not excited for it, but we'll see what else it has to offer as far as the season goes.
You're not excited, but by God, you're going to play it anyways.
I am. I am invested in this game. I'm a day one player, and I'm just gonna keep at it. It's a fun thing to play with my friends. So,
Three of Thieves.
Yes.
How quickly can we get me the 1K in this game?
In what?
Sea of Thieves.
Not quick at all.
Damn.
It's a lot faster than it used to be, but no, that is the game that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friends.
Oh no.
Yeah. Okay.
How much gamer score are they up to now?
I think it's over 3,000. Let's see.
I mean, again, this is season 300 achievements.
This is season 13. It's a 5-year-old game. They're over 5,000 gamer score. It's 5460 right now. Yeah, as of the new update. So,
okay, so 500 achievements. Then I assume.
Something like that.
Okay.
What is it? No,
I could probably do that in a year.
261 achievements. No, some of these you need to like play with other people to like get stuff together. It's have fun.
I probably if I start this, I won't be having fun, but think I could complete this with your group. Probably.
Possibly. Possibly.
I did 100% the Halo Master Chief Collection, so I have faith.
Yeah.
It's just, do I want to put myself through the agony?
One game you can no longer complete right now is Stumble Guys. They just got a new title update. There's a new season going on in the game, and one of the achievements is to complete an event with a party, which you cannot do yet.
Broken. Oh.
Yeah. It's not that it's broken. Sucks. You just, the ability to do it isn't there yet.
Yeah.
So hopefully the game gets updated soon, but new achievements. Yeah. So I'll fire it back up and listen to that same one fucking song over and over and over and over.
Yeah. Well, my last bit of news is just a reminder to everyone that this weekend is your last chance to buy anything on the Xbox 360 Marketplace, as it will be closed on July 29th. That's Monday.
Rip.
Have they said what time on Monday, or just
Monday? I assume, you know, universal whatever time, whatever that means. But yeah, it's closing Monday, so I would assume by the end of Sunday you'll have to buy anything. So
okay.
There's so much I want, and I have no money.
Yeah.
Go sell your plasma.
Just everyone, yeah.
Not me. I'm good.
Oh, no, you're Aki.
Yeah, which means I'm good.
I was so excited. I was going to buy a bunch of stuff because I sold like a gigantic box of movies, but our air conditioner went out, and I had to give Ashley like all the money from that.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Oh, that blows.
Yeah, we bought a small window unit for my room, so it's at least manageable right now. But our main unit in the kitchen, or everyone who's been here knows what our house is like.
Yeah.
The kitchen unit is down. Don't know when it'll be back up and Yay.
Hopefully you'll find a resolution soon.
Yay.
You like that's a sound clip, Jacob? You're so amused by that.
It amuses me like no other.
I fucking love that's a sound clip.
There's so many wrestling clips on our soundboard now.
Yay!
Okay, that one's getting added to my favorites, too.
Yeah, and then Tim going.
One of your favorites.
Maybe I was too hasty.
Jacob, what news do you have?
I got nothing, Bree. Reported on mine.
Aww.
I told you cool no one things. Was going to have mine, Bree. I knew it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no shit, because you're the only one who really cares about Gundam on here.
Honestly, I kind of figured you might have it, but I knew I was going to be asked first.
Nah.
We get the reviews.
Also, nah. Good.
Listen here, fuck snort.
Let's do this.
You ready?
Yes.
Jacob, you ready?
I don't have much of a choice.
Bree, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is Dragon Bobby, developed and published by Benny Games, Franklin Benini. Released July 19th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $14.99. Dragon Bobby is a uniquely beautiful game with third-person exploration and puzzles that tell the story of a man's life from birth. Control a dragon that is an analogy of this man in the story, a true reflection on life. Bree and Jacob, both of you check this out. Bree, how about you start? What is Dragon Bobby?
So yeah, like you said, it's the story of a man's journey through his life told through the control of a dragon. There are quotes at the beginning of each chapter that help encapsulate the theme. There are working clocks everywhere, the constant reminder of the passage of time and the whole life analogy. Kind of neat, so no matter what time of day you're playing, it'll show the correct time, as long as, you know, you've got it hooked to the internet, I would assume. The story is told in captures on photos at the start of each chapter segment, and each chapter is broken into three parts, I would say, most of the time. You have to collect orbs and find memories. Certain areas are locked until you find all the orbs, and the orbs aren't exactly easy to see up against the little, like, blue and white flowers in the grass, or against the glowing blue mushrooms.
They're really not, and
yeah.
On top of it, like, the way that it shows, like, the hidden objects, like, how it, like, it kind of looks like a swirl of butterflies or whatever.
Yeah, well, the there's hidden like objects
three,
are
yeah, well, there's, like, three other things.
Little red sparkles.
Yeah, that look like the little sparkles or whatever. And it's just like,
yeah.
Annoying.
Yeah. So yeah, you collect those hidden memories similar to the main ones in the story. They give you like a little photo and a little memory or whatever that's related to the chapter. Chill music. It was mostly London in the background. There were some small puzzles to solve with statues and blocks. Sometimes
going back to the music, I hope you like hearing the same tune over and over again on the level, because
yeah,
you'll be hearing it a lot.
Sometimes you need to find and collect stones that you deposit in matching receptacles to open gateways. One puzzle had you open things in a certain order to unlock a doorway, like little clam shells with a number of pearls in them, and if you did them in the right order, you like unlock the thing. Eventually you get a glide button, which adds another dimension for collecting orbs. There's an underwater level where you can swim and collect the story and orbs. In later levels, you get to fly. You still touch the ground and walk around, which you need to do to be able to collect the hidden memories. The graphics were decent. The dragon animations were well done. The landscapes were pretty. But the opening cinematic was really jittery and caused me to experience a little motion sickness.
I'm not going to lie. I give them mad props for that, though. You don't see that kind of cinematic level opening anymore.
Yeah.
In games, and so often it's like a very cookie cutter, like they all have this, like all cutscenes have the same thing. This one was surprised. Like, yeah, it's clippy as hell. And there's definite graphic slowdown at some points, but like, mad props to him for trying.
Well, and mad props in general, because it's a solo dev who had his family do the quality assurance for the game and test everything out. And I would say, you know, scope of the project, like, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely.
I did have a few dashboards and a couple of disappearing collectibles, which you could fix by reloading the level, because it does save all your collectibles. You can go in, there's a chapter select. If you miss some collectibles and you want to go back and find them later for the achievements. Jacob, what else did you have on this
thought? Honestly, my only real gripe is try to figure out where exactly you could and couldn't go in the level.
Yeah.
And there were some very tight areas where, like, okay, so like you can't make them fall off a cliff or like fall into a lake or anything like that in the early stages. And he does this like little cute, like, little, you know, kind of head nod. And, you know, it's cool seeing it the first time. But if you got stuck in a tight area and you're trying to get him out.
Yeah, that was rough.
I'm not going to say it's as bad as having to sit through the Valkyrie deaths in Too Human. But it was just like, oh, man, no, not again.
Yeah.
But other than that, like I thought it was a pretty interesting game. And at first I was like, oh, cool, something my kids can play.
Yeah, the material gets a little dark. You know,
that's the thing, because I was just like, oh, it's very Spyro-esque. And then I was just like, well, hold on, this seems like it's going to get autobiographical. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
And I was just like, all right, maybe. Maybe in a few years.
Yeah, maybe not now. Yeah, there's like a commentary on like the father ends up getting cancer, and like the main character like turns to drugs and goes to rehab, and his like childhood sweetheart's there to support him when he gets out, and they get married, and it's a lovely story. But yeah, how much of it's true, I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the game clocks in at $15. What do the two of you think about it?
I'd say it's worth 15. I'm all right with that price. Like, it's an interesting story, and as a solo dev, I'm willing to, bump up more what cheap-ass Jake is willing to pay on this one.
And as much as I want to support a solo dev who clearly put a lot of love into their game, it's kind of a wait for a sale, try it for me. I did not find it as engaging as I wanted to. I think like a $5 discount on that would be the perfect price for me for what I got out of it.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Moving on, next game to talk about, Hairdresser Simulator, developed by Console Way and Petard Games, published by Frozen Way, released July 25th on Series X and S and PS5, 1999. Create new hairstyles for customers, cut, dye, and style to perfection. Enhance your skills and master the craft. Run your business and renovate your salon. Generate profit, hire employees, aim to the top. Unleash your creativity with staples of hairdressing trade. See how much of a simple haircut can change a person. Jacob, tell us about your time spent with Hairdresser Simulator.
So, Hairdresser Simulator, believe it or not, is a simulation game where you're running your own hair salon.
What?
Yeah, it was not the first-person shooter I thought it was going to be.
Oh, man.
So, in this game...
With a name like that, like, that's just false advertising.
Yeah, it's definitely a Canadian football game. In this game, you are this entrepreneurial hairdresser who wants to open up their own salon. And you can design your own character if you want, but the game has this tutorial where you learn the basics of what you're going to do. So, you know, you have to brush out the hair, you know, you like shower it down, shampoo, you know, rinse out the shampoo, so on and so forth. And after that, you know, the game is just like, all right, now you get to open up your own place and you get to decide what you want to do. And you're given X amount of money and you can spend it as you want. You can design your own hair salon and even go as far as designing the logo for it too, which I was a little surprised by. It's just, you start scheduling and accepting customers. Like, you have to keep the shop looking clean, as you make money. You can open up more salons if you want to. It was a surprisingly thorough and engaging game, more than I was expecting it to be. Because a lot of these simulator games are really hit or miss. You either get something that's super fun to play, like Power Wash Simulator, where it's more arcadey than at, like, real life, or, you know, some of those lumberjack sims where it was just like, oh my god, what the hell is this? This one, yeah, like, it's surprisingly like a lot of fun. I really only had two gripes with it. The first one is that some of the language is still in Polish. It wasn't all translated properly, but thankfully Google Translate saved the day on that. and also the sensitivity makes it a little hard to like judge where you're actually like using like your tools and stuff like that. And so it takes some time to figure it out. Okay. Yeah.
Do customers come in and like ask you to give them a trim or tell you how they want their hair done, or do you decide?
They tell you what they want. Like, there's like a list of like icons and it tells you like whether like, they want to brush, essentially it's like what all you'll have to do. You'll have to brush it out. You'll have to curl it. You'll have to dye it. Stuff like that. And there is like a sandbox mode, so you can pretty much do whatever. If you're willing to look past like stiff character animations that, you know, in the real reality of things don't really matter. Honestly, like I thought that this was a pretty solid simulator game. I was surprised by it.
All right, well, it clocks in at $20. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd say it's actually worth it.
Cool beans. Any other thoughts on that one?
No, I thought I talked quite a bit.
All right. If you think
Did I not?
I didn't time it.
Oh, okay.
Do you think I care? Well, I do.
Maybe. I thought you would.
I don't look at the. I'm lazy.
I'm doing a bunch of other shit during.
It made
the cut.
Thanks to Horror Acolyte for that joke.
So does it?
I just said yeah. It makes the cut.
All right, Jacob, that is it for you. I know you're not feeling well, so we will let you get going. Do you have any final thoughts before you head out?
WB sucks, and I will not be supporting the Minecraft movie. Okay. So there.
All right.
I'll show you guys. That's $50 you won't get from my family. Yeah, actually, these are expensive. Still will. Yo, they seriously are. Oh, yeah. Also, I speaking of movie stuff, I forgot. If you have T-Mobile next week, $5 Borderlands tickets.
Mm.
Which I can tell for both of your voices. You're like, oh, are they paying me $5 to go see it?
I'll watch it. I'm just not going to go to a theater for it.
It's the combination of not caring about the Borderlands movie and not caring about T-Mobile.
I'm not going to lie, like, if it's a $5 IMAX ticket, I'll do it, but I'm probably just going to wait for digital as well.
I want to see Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah, I'll go to the
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, get out of here. We have more reviews.
All right, bye.
Hey, bye.
Bye, feel better.
See ya.
Next game to talk about, Hidden Cats in Rome, developed by NukeArt Studio, published by Silesia Games, released July 24th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $3.99. Hidden Cats in Rome is a short and pleasant hidden object game for everyone. Look around a big, lovely illustration, relax, and spot all the furry friends hiding in every nook and cranny. Starting with beautiful yet monochromatic scenery, the city fills itself with warm colors the more cats you find. Bree, I think I just reviewed the game for you.
You pretty much did, but I've got some other things I can say, and I'll recap cool. that.
Talk about
it. First of all, there are more hidden cats than ever before.
Yay!
This is part of a series of hidden cats. There are over 900 things to find in this game.
Oh my god.
All right, so this is part of the series of hidden cats games in different cities. Now we get to go to Rome. Like the previous games, you have a normal mode, where you have to find 120 cats in fixed locations. You get 3 hints. And then there's an advanced mode with 200 randomized cats, 12 special cats that unlock your bonus levels, and city people themed to the location that help you earn hints. Beautiful line art and cute cats create the scenes. When you find enough cats in the area, the section colors in to let you know that you can search elsewhere. The goal is to color the whole picture. There is a dark mode to help your eyes and a colorblind mode for those who need it. When you complete the main level, you get a fireworks celebration. There are also pigeons all over Rome, making things more difficult to look through and find all the cats. Because pigeons are up places where you find cats, yeah. And when you fill in all the cats at certain landmarks, you get a special card and an achievement appears. The music is good, matches the theme of Rome rather well. The game has 6 bonus levels, like historic landmarks and shops, and an additional, this is the new thing, nerd arena with 200 cats and city people to find. There's like 100 of each, and it's kind of like the advanced mode where you find the people 4 at a time, which is a little tedious when you're trying to find 100.
Yeah.
But all told, there's 900 cats and other things to find. In the bonus levels, you'll have to find cats hidden behind or inside things. And they wiggle to give you a hint. And the game has oddly numbered achievements, like 14s and 41s.
Yeah! Woo! Love it.
Still easy to complete the 1,000. So, yeah.
How long did it take you to get the 1,000?
Oh, I don't know. Probably an hour or two. Probably closer to a couple hours at this point because of the Nerd Arena. It was very fun to go through the Nerd Arena. It was just a little tedious when you're trying to find them 4 at a time, the people.
Yeah, that sounds not as fun.
Yeah.
But the game itself for $3.
I love it. Buy it.
Good. Actually, no, it's not $3. It's $4.
It's $4. Still buy
three,
it.
$3.99. Oh my God. I screwed up the whole review. Well, let's start it back over. $3.99. So game costs $3.99, not $2.99. $3.99. Your official thoughts on that?
On it's sale for $3.19 right now.
As going to get to that.
Yeah, buy it. So,
all right.
It's got extra content. It's fun.
So it's still worth it for that extra dollar.
Absolutely.
Oh, they're just breaking our balls with price increase. Mm-hmm. Such an expensive series.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
nickel and diamond. No, I love these games. I will buy every single one that comes out. I love them.
Yeah.
Bring them on, Silesia. Get more. Next game, Shield King, developed and published by Aphil Games, released July 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $4.99. Shield King is an action and survival game set in a world enveloped by a strange gray mist. After coming into contact with the mist, people have transformed into violent monstrosities. The mist seems to be closer to the ground, prompting people to seek refuge in high places, although safety is not guaranteed. Little is known about this mysterious phenomenon. Bree, that doesn't really explain the game much, does it?
No, but that's way more backstory than I got out of the game, so yeah. Thank you.
What is the game? What is Shield King? What's going on in this one?
You're on a rooftop, and you can fall off, and there are zombies and monsters coming out of the elevator at the top. And all you have to defend yourself is a trash can lid and a hearty dash that can damage the enemy. When you kill things, they leave potions that do things like temporarily upgrade your stamina or health or cast lightning or freeze on the enemy. And when you beat the wave, it clears the helicopter to land and rescue you and take you to the next rooftop. Because you gotta stay on top, apparently, now that I have the backstory to that. The waves keep getting harder and harder, making you clear more numerous and more difficult monsters, and even adding a plank across to the next roof to make you clear two waves before getting to the chopper. Every so many levels, you get the opportunity to upgrade your shield, but it's not often enough. And there's no way to back out and redo earlier levels, you just have to get good or luck out with your potions and shots. There are at least 20 levels per world, and three worlds to conquer. I say at least 20 because I'm partly guessing. I could not make it to level 20 to find out for sure. I watched some streams and saw that there was at least 20 levels on the first. There's no level select either. As I mentioned, you can't go back and play earlier levels.
Yeah, that's a bummer. It seems like a game like this, you would want to go back and grind.
Grind, or in this case, when they added a title update to the game immediately after that is for killing certain monsters is one of the achievements. If you're stuck on a level like I am that doesn't have that type of monster, you're kind of screwed until you can get further into the game or restart it. The control scheme was also a little awkward for me, mostly using left stick to move and bumper to run and the right stick to aim and the bumper to dash. I mean, it works. It was just a little awkward to get used to. Aside from the mostly easy achievements, I really didn't like this one.
No.
Too small. It was too easy to accidentally double dash off the roof. The shield doesn't stay up the whole time, and I didn't feel like I was in control of it all the time. The stamina bar ran out too quickly. I was worried about my health all the time, more than I could bother with, like, getting stamina potions and things to help that out. I was mostly concerned with health potions. When you dash, you aren't invincible even for a second, which is a problem with the way some enemies disperse when you move to hit them. Yeah. And there's a lot of times where I would clearly hit a crowd of enemies and just whoosh right through and take damage to me instead. That said, I mean, if it were to be worked on, I would be happy to give it another shot. But for right now, it's kind of a deny it.
Well, it is $4.99 on Xbox One, Series X and S. There is a separate Windows 10 version for $4.99 as well. I'm guessing the stack is a deny it as well.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I feel like it needs some improvement. And this is my first time denying a game on this show in a year. So, I don't know. I can put it at a cautious try it a little bit for I mean, aside from
if it's not easy enough achievements.
Yeah. You
know, Aphil's done better. They've had better games.
So Yeah, they have.
Save your money for a better one, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, Bree, that is it for you. We will let you get going so you can get to your Sea of Thieves. Have fun destroying other people.
I'm going to try to destroy other people. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, do you have any final words before we let you go?
No, I really don't.
Nothing. Well, if you have any issues with killing people, just tell Lloyd to do better.
All right. Will do.
See you later.
Have a good night, everybody.
Bye.
All right, next up, Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, the Skybreaker. Code provided by Ubisoft for the purpose of this segment. Developed and published by Ubisoft. Released July 16th on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC for $19.99 or as part of the $39.99 season pass. Avatar's Frontier of Pandora is available for $69.99 with various deluxe editions based on the goodies you want and is required for any DLC. A mysterious shadow looms in the sky, threatening the Na'vi clans who are celebrating their great festival of games. Face the RDA and protect the unity of the clans. Aki, you're going to talk about the DLC and a little bit on the game, but I think we're going to discuss the game in greater detail next week on the show. For now, let's focus on the DLC. What's going on in this?
Okay, so this starts off at the end of the prior game. I think it starts like a year or two later or something like that. And you get sent to a brand new map area. So this isn't stuff you're familiar with. Woohoo, cool new world. And the first thing they have you do is get on one of the pet horse things and ride off with these giant creatures that could feasibly, if they bothered the want to step on you, crush you in a single step. And then you learn they're setting up for their games festival. It seems to be kind of like ye olden Olympic Games or something, is the vibe that I got. You know, all the clans were there, they were all united, they were all doing lots of random shit. They were painting murals and stuff to get ready for it, which is kind of cool. And you have to go off and do some stuff for some people. And then I assume you partake in the actual games themselves. The reason why I say I assume is because this game is broke as shit. Yes, and it hurts my feelings to say this because I love Ubisoft games and I absolutely love Avatar, Big Blue Sexy Aliens, woohoo! But this is one of the most broke-ass games I've played in ever, probably, actually.
What's broken? Because I haven't heard of any issues of the game being broken. Did the DLC break it?
No, this is a problem that hits a lot of Xboxes, seemingly not all of them. It seems to mostly affect Xbox Series X's for some reason, not S's. I don't understand the reasoning behind that either. But for some reason, when you play this game, for those who get affected by it, which I don't know how randomized it is, I don't have this kind of information, it decides it's going to crash. And I don't mean like, oh, I played it for like 5 hours and it crashed. No, I mean, I flipped it on, I played for 10 minutes, it crashed. Yay! And it overheats the Xbox something fucking fierce. At first, I thought maybe that there just simply was too much dust or something collected. Also, nice shirt. Hi. So I was looking at that stuff and everything, because after playing it for like 10, 20 minutes, you could touch the top of my Xbox, and it was uncomfortable. It was so hot at the top.
Wow.
And at first I was like, okay, there must just be a lot of dust. After all, I haven't really, really cleaned it in ever. So it must be dust. So I decided to do dusting through it, canned air, all that fun shit, because I was like, it has to be this. And then I played another game. And I played it literally the entire day without turning my Xbox off. And guess how hot that was? Not even half as hot. I was like, okay, that maybe I solved it. Went and played the game. About 10 minutes later, it was uncomfortable to touch again. So it's this game.
What was the other game you played?
I played Outlast Trials. Played Final Fantasy Type Zero.
Yeah, because I didn't know if it was like something like an indie game or if it was a more demanding, but it was more demanding stuff. So
yeah.
The game is just really running the system rough.
Yeah, rough enough that it crashed pretty regularly. Every half hour to an hour, the game would crash. And when I tried to start it again, even if it wasn't in between crashes, just trying to start it, it could get fucked up before it even gets to the main menu, which kills me. There are times when I started it and it has an opening little cinematic that it shows before you get to the main menu. And sometimes it just wouldn't fucking play. And therefore you'd be stuck because it wouldn't go to the main menu ever. Sometimes it would get through that and the main menu, the words would be garbledygook and it'd be errored out and you couldn't interact with any of the buttons. So you'd have to shut it off and then start it again. And that has basically been the entirety of my enjoyment of this game. I found out some fun stuff as well, because I did play a bunch of the main game itself, because, you know, between crashes, I got it working, and you have to play through some of the main game in order to play the DLC. You don't have to play it all. It is meant to be played after you beat it, but you're able to skip it for people who really just can't wait, like me. The problem is, after it crashed, I couldn't open my save again for the DLC any single time it did it, because it would say, oh, you have to own and have this DLC installed. I uninstalled the DLC, reinstalled it, still set it. Like, okay, I deleted the save. Because it makes a copy of your original save, thankfully. So I just popped back into my original save from the main game, and I was immediately able to skip the campaign and go into the DLC. It crashed, went back in to play it. Huh, you need the DLC. Motherfucker, I have the DLC. So I have gotten to play, I don't know, 45 minutes in total, possibly, of this DLC, but I've only played it like a dozen fucking times in hopes that I can get further and further, faster and faster. I have gotten it down to a science. I can get where I need to go pretty damn quick now.
Ouch.
But it keeps crashing at random points, so... thankfully, this hasn't destroyed the main save. I don't know why it's screwing everything up for the DLC save. Thankfully, it hasn't screwed up my main save. Anytime it crashes, I have to start it, close it, and then start it again to get it to actually work. Usually.
Yay!
That fixes it anyways. And then I can continue that, so it at least hasn't destroyed that, thankfully. However, the DLC seems... until they figure out something to fix this. And this has been an issue since before the DLC came out. So this isn't a super, super common thing. Ubisoft keeps saying they know of no problems, even though Reddit forums, Xbox forums all have this problem all over the place. These people keep saying they've informed Ubisoft, and Ubisoft keeps saying, we don't know of any issues. So I don't know if it's going to get fixed. However... It seems like it's only an issue on Xbox. So there's that.
Very weird.
I have no idea.
Quick, got to give a quick shout out to Burger Thing, who just subbed for the 10th month. Thank you so much, Burger Thing, for coming by and dropping a sub. Enjoy the emotes. Enjoy the kitty cats. Aside from all the crashing, did you enjoy what you could of the DLC?
Yeah, I enjoyed riding around on the horse. I enjoyed interacting with the characters. I really like how everyone looks, because this is very beautiful game. So beautiful. I think one of the main reasons why it works so fucking hard constantly is because it's the entire map. And I mean the entire map. The inside of every building, the outside of every building, it is all here. There is no loading screen once you get into the game, unless you fast travel. The entire map is loaded, all of it, already. It's a big motherfucker with a lot of shit in it. I've really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed more of the main campaign than I have of the DLC, simply because I have been able to actually play the main game, whereas my save keeps breaking and not registering that I have the DLC. So I've played much more of the main game, but I'm still pretty far from being close to beating that, I think, because this is a big ums, people. But yeah, I've enjoyed what I've played, be it of the DLC or this, or of the main game, I mean. I like it. I cannot suggest it on Xbox, though, for obvious reasons. But it's... it's on PlayStation, I believe, and because I'm pretty sure Pernell reviewed it originally on PlayStation, which is why I didn't review it, and I'm pretty sure it's on Steam as well. So I would totally suggest it in one of those places.
I don't know if it's on Steam, but it is on PC. I just don't know if it's on Ubisoft's client, or let me look it up quick.
Oh, that's very possible.
Yeah, I don't think it's on Steam. Oh, maybe. Yep, yeah, it is on Steam. Okay. You are correct. It is on Steam.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they kind of got rid of their player a while ago, and it's now an optional thing. Yeah, I would suggest in one of those places, because what I have played of the game is really enjoyable. It's really fun. You get to there's some weird aspects to the game, like you have to eat in the game. It's not super survival-y or anything, but you have an energy meter, and it runs out slowly over time, and you get energy by eating. And if you run out of energy, you don't have healing that your character naturally does over time. I don't know how much healing they do over time, because there's also health packs and stuff, but there's not many of them. You can only hold, well, right now I can only hold two. I think you can get up to like four, so I assume you can heal all the way to max if you wait long enough. But you can also craft different weapons, and you have lots of crafting ingredients and various levels for those ingredients, even different rarities, which also impact what level they are. And you get all those by either hunting animals or by grabbing branches off of trees or shit like that. Those are really simple minigames, and you can get the items in various different conditions based on how well you do in the little minigames that are for it. Because there's pristine, which means you got it without damaging it. And then there's also a type of season, more or less, that it gets the best result in. So some of them might say it needs to be daytime. Some of them might say it needs to be raining. Some of them might say, oh, it has to be dry, or oh, it has to be nighttime. Stuff like that to get an even better result than usual. So that stuff's, I actually find it kind of fun, actually. It's not terrible. It's just a real quick little thing that takes like a couple seconds. And then you get a new item, and that's kind of cool. Hunting is kind of difficult, because to get that stuff, you need to do, the better items you get from that are for being merciful and basically one-shotting an enemy. And therefore, you have to hit them in their weak points. And by God, those weak points are fucking small, which makes sense in hunting. Realistic hunting, even, the kill shots for animals is pretty small, even when they're very large animals. So it made sense, and it was fun trying to hunt these things and not get crushed by them because they're like 10 times my size. Yeah, I've really enjoyed what I've played of this game. It's beautiful. The only problem I have is it runs my Xbox so hard it crashes the game fucking constantly. I've had it crash.
I do like how you gave your verdict and then went on for another 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, I had more to say about the game. Be happy I have something to say that about a game that isn't pornographic, okay?
Very true. Very true.
Stay away from it on Xbox, 100%.
But thanks again to Ubisoft for contributing the code so we could check out this game and the DLC. I'm sure we'll talk about the other DLC when that releases in the future. Let's move on.
I'll be checking out the game every time there's an update for it, just in hopes that it stops crashing, because I want to finish this game because it's so fucking cool.
Yeah, I hear it's just jaw-dropping beautiful.
Oh god, it's so beautiful. Oh my god, it's so beautiful, because like, again, it's the entire world. You can see trees that just stretch on forever into the sky. It is so cool, and some of them you get to climb. It's awesome. The animals are really interesting. It's so pretty. I really like this game, can you tell?
Yes. One final game to talk about tonight is called A Thug's Ascension, developed by Moonwalk Games and studio Aditya Chandra. Published by thegamepublisher.com, released January 18th on Steam for $9.99, recently had some updates. The Thug's Ascension is a low-poly action-adventure first-person shooter story set in the dying city of Maratha circa 2023. Become chief, a feared mercenary, and experience a dark, slow-paced crime drama marrying cinematic, dialogue-driven storytelling with intense shooting and driving gameplay. Aki, what is going on in A Thug's Ascension?
Ooh, there's some stuff going on here. I don't know how much of it is good. You play as a guy who is one of the higher-ups in this little mercenary gang, and you first start off by basically blowing up a building that has a whole bunch of cops in it, and then having a shootout with them to get everyone in the gang out of there. Your gang's fairly small. And this becomes a crime thriller styled story. And yeah, basically everything you do is go on little missions for the most part. You get a whole bunch of health and everything eats through that health real fucking quick. This is a first person shooter. The shooting mechanics are, none of the weapons are weighty. None of the bullets are particularly weighty. And for this, you have to constantly be on the move. There is no ducking behind cover. You're just going to get killed that way. You have to strafe side to side and manually keep the aim on the person to kill them, because it takes a hell of a lot more than one headshot to kill an enemy. I'm talking like a half a clip from an AK-47. Yeah, it's not great. And you have to do this while strafing, because if you stand still, it looks like you have an awful lot of health, because you start with 250 health, and that's fucking amazing. And that lasts for all of about 5 seconds if you don't move your ass. you do get a ton of ammunition. Every time an enemy dies, they drop, well, for the most part, they drop their gun, and if you walk over it, you get all the ammo that's in it added to your ammo. Yay! I think by the time I ended the game, my AK-47, which is your starting weapon, I think it had like over 6,000 bullets for it or some shit. It was ridiculous. And that was the weapon I used almost the entirety of the game. So you don't hurt for bullets. You hurt for health and a way to aim. Because, man, the aiming sucks. there is no auto aim, no aim assist, no nothing. Hope you can hit them while you're constantly moving side to side so you don't die like a little bitch. Now, beyond the actual gameplay, which that's all there is of it, the story was okay. It wasn't amazing. And I think the reason why it wasn't amazing is twofold. One, there's no voice acting in this game, which, fair enough, you know, they cost money to hire voice actors. Yeah. I think the devs probably should have done it if they could. Even if it's not in English, I don't care. I think that would have helped significantly bring emotion to the game.
Yeah, devs, I'll do it. Hit me up.
I'll do it. And then the other thing is, all the characters are basically Playmo or Lego, whatever you want to call it, pieces, more or less. So, unlike the Lego games where their mouths open and they have facial features that move, this game doesn't. It's more like replacing the head on a Lego piece that has a different facial feature for this one bit of dialogue. Then it flips to another character and you take the head off and put another head on and just keep doing that back and forth when necessary. Through like 70% of the game, all the characters have the exact same face at all times. And even when it is different, it's like, oh, now there's tear streaks on it. But the otherwise, the emotion is the exact same, whatever emotion they've had literally the entire game. That those two things really hurt the story, because it makes it very hard to care, because you're not really attached to any of the characters. You don't know what parts are particularly super important. There's no emotion being displayed. For a crime, drama, thriller type thing, you have to have that stuff. Even if it was just the devs voice acting, I don't care how good they do, they can be shit at it. As long as it had emotion, I think it would do significantly better. Even with the blank faces on the, for these things, just because it needs that emotion. and it sorely lacked it. It was a fairly long game. I think it took me 10, 11 hours to get through, and I played it straight through. There are some collectibles in the game. They're very minor. There's 8 little coins, basically, that you can collect in throughout some of the levels. 8 total, not 8 in each level. And nothing happens with them. They're just something to collect for an achievement. That's it. And yeah, there's not much to this game. If you're not super, super into the story, which, again, hard to get into, I can't tell you a great deal about the story because so much of it was meaningless to me, which is a shame. That's all I have to say about that game, sadly.
Well, it clocks in at $10. Need a verdict.
I have to pass on this one. If they update it to include languages, it would be at least a try it. But without that, it's just not going to grab anyone, I don't think.
All right. And again, hire us for voice acting. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm a thug. I'll beat you up.
I could imagine. I can imagine the main character sounding kind of like that. You could be the main character. Congratulations.
Yay.
I'm a main character. This is the end of the show.
Yep.
Yay. Yay.
I ended the show on such a downer. I feel bad.
It's okay. We're going to pick things up. We talked about A Thug's Ascension. We're going to end the show with a song called Sewer Thug from Booger Man by Patrick Jackson, Nate Cloud. You can grab that off of ocremix.org along with thousands of other free songs, including 2 that have my rapping on it.
Would we like to do an update on another game this show?
Like what?
Outlast Trials.
Nah, I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
Fair enough. All right.
Yeah. You have any final words?
Ubisoft, please fix Avatar. It's just a beg and a plead, yo. Please.